give you a little bit of background that led to the production of the paper. In 2004, the Endowment for Health in New Hampshire, which was our conversion foundation from the Blue Cross Blue Shield plan, convened about three dozen people for what they called the Pillars Project. And the Pillars Project, the reason for the metaphor was that the pillars that underlie our healthcare system are eroding. Whether that's the number of businesses that are covering health insurance, whether that's the cost shifting from Medicare and Medicaid onto the private side, whether it's the pillar of eroding of personal health because of obesity and a whole host of others. But each one of those pillars are eroding. And unless we take on a sustained effort across the board, we are not going to be able to get at things. We are going to chase individual circumstances as opposed to look at the system as a whole. And so that led to in addition to that, our Division of Public Health was involved in a public health improvement action plan process, essentially looking at attendant services, et cetera, and saying, how are we doing? What happened was our governor, who had been elected in 2004, said that he wanted to take on an effort. He was interested in small group reform, but he said, I want to do something more systemic. And so what happened was University of New Hampshire, where I am, I'm the director of the Institute for Health Policy at UNH, and the Endowment, which is the Conversion Foundation, collaborated on preparing this thing called the Citizens Health Initiative, and that was launched in September of 2005. I think it's important for me to go through four slides because I don't do this presentation, regardless if I'm just giving it to my daughter, without going through these four slides, because I think one of the things that is a problem, as those of us who are involved in health discover time and again, is when you talk about health, everybody brings their own definition to the table. Ah, they're going to talk about insurance. Ah, they're going to talk about triple E. Ah, they're going to talk about quality of care. And what we wanted to do is to say, if we were going to have a citizens' health initiative, let's make sure everybody knows what we're talking about when we say health, and we didn't make it up ourselves. We use the IOM definition. Health is the state of well-being and the capability to function in the face of changing circumstances. Health is, therefore, a positive concept emphasizing social and personal resources, blah, 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 blah. The second sentence is the critical one. Improving health is a shared responsibility of healthcare providers, public health officials, and a variety of other actors. What we essentially have here are the two major components of public health and personal care. And what we wanted to do with the initiative is to make people understand that we were talking about both of those major systems of care. The reason for that came out in the IOM study on healthy communities in 1997. And they put their finger on it when they said, for too long, the personal health care and the public health systems have shouldered their respective responsibilities separately from each other. We must engage in a process that brings them together. The reality is, within our country, we have these two systems. Our focus is on community health, but we've got two major systems, population health and personal care. And the reality is the paradigm for each, the underlying philosophy of each, is fundamentally different. Population health is driven by social justice. In our country, personal care is driven by economic justice. And we've got to understand the differences between those two. In every other industrialized country on the face of the earth, they have melded those together. We have taken pieces. We have taken some of personal care, Medicare, and said that's a matter of social justice for those over 65. We're struggling to think to try and figure out what we think for kids under 18. I think there'll be a debate as we go forward about chronic disease. Where does that fit? Is it exclusively going to find itself over in the personal care side, or are we going to reach out to that? But we still struggle with it until we accept the fact that that paradigm is there. We're going to miss something. And what we've tried to do is to say we've got to force those together. I guess the easiest line that I have that I use about the importance is, from the year 1900 to the year 2000, life expectancy in the country went up 30 years. It was the largest gain in life expectancy since the hunter-gatherers. 25 of those years were the results of public health efforts, and only 5 were the results of medical care. So heart surgery and MRIs and all of those types of things, absolutely marvelous, wonderful. They get all the headlines, but it's the reality of clean air and clean water and safe workplaces and immunization and a host of things that have gone on that have led to the increase of life expectancy. So, in essence, for the Citizens Health Initiative, as we launched it, our goal is fairly straightforward, and that is to sustain a public dialogue that will measurably improve the systems, both of them, all of them, because there's others other than the two dominant, but a whole host of others, sort of using the Evans and Stoddard field model for looking at healthcare, to provide leadership in New Hampshire in order to accomplish two fairly simple things: assure a healthy population and create a rational and effective system of care. We should be done in about a week on that. This is a busy slide, and I'm going to spend my time talking about the one that appears on the left. We have three major policy teams that we've put in place: health promotion and disease prevention, which I'll talk about in a bit, a quality of care policy team, and a finance information policy team. Under quality of care, we looked at all the things that we could do, and we said, as it affected quality in our first year, 2006 and then 2007, we have focused on moving the state forward on e-prescribing with the extraordinary gains that that could give, both in terms of reduction of medical error, of cost efficiency, effectiveness, etc. And then we are also looking at the primary care access. It doesn't matter if you have a card if there's no primary care practitioners, and we are creating a plan that we will be coming out with by the end of the year that says where should we be in terms of the primary care workforce by the year 2010, and what specific steps can the state take. Under finance and information, we've looked a lot at health information technology and exchange. We've looked at the underlying issue of privacy and security, which is a real concern for folks as we move forward, and we've got to address that up front so we don't trip on it later. We are trying to get openness and transparency in terms of the information, both about the cost, quality of care, as well as transparency of what people can do for wellness programs. We have put together a New Hampshire Purchasers Alliance of about 120,000 employees in four different groups, not to purchase insurance together, but to look at wellness activities, to look at best practices, to look at the ways they might be able to change their reimbursement pattern. And finally, we have a reimbursement group with Medicare, Medicaid, the three major carriers of the state, and a number of providers to say, as long as we're in a system that pays fee-for-service, piecework, we're going to get a lot of services for a lot of those fees. We've got to move into something that rewards outcomes, that rewards best practices. And in our first year, we had some modest successes with common metrics for pay-for-performance. But we think we've got to put more juice into the whole notion of the medical home, focus money on the primary care side. So those things are all going on within the initiative. But now let me, looking at the clock, the Health Promotion and Disease Prevention Team. The team members came from a whole host of community organizations, hospitals, departments, legislators, etc. And they decided to produce a summary paper and a call to action. It was based on a New Hampshire Master's program, a paper that had been put together for sort of a keystone topic called Digging Down to the Root. You know, what kills us and makes us sick in New Hampshire? And Laura Davey, who is the primary author of the paper, is over here. We have a couple copies, but you can get copies out on the website, which I will show you. What that paper basically said is, and we tried to message that in a way that would get the attention of the state: we are a relatively healthy state. Our health varies widely within the state. We're living longer. We have the same leading causes of death and health as the rest of the U.S., and we can improve our health significantly by taking on a few of the major underlying causes. I think so often we find ourselves saying, well, there's 15 causes, so let's round up a committee for each of them, as opposed to saying, how about we start at the deep end of the pool and see if we can start draining right there. We are relatively healthy. We were rated in the top three, just dropped down yesterday or the day before to number four by Annie Casey. But there are differences. The percent of low birth weight babies ranges from 4.5 to 7.7, and you can see the differences in teen birth rate, unintentional injuries, invasive cancer, and median household income. And so there's those large differences within the state. A busier slide, but it shows you the same. The Berlin-Gorham area, which is in the northern part of the state, with an average income of $37,000 in the metrics that you see, as opposed to Greater Portsmouth and the seacoast with $62,000, with the differences in metrics. So if we're going to focus, not only do we want to focus on the diseases or the behaviors that are causing illness and death, but we also want to focus on the regions. In New Hampshire, our leading causes of death are the same as the nation. You can look at those, but you probably have those memorized by now. And the death rate by leading causes as you move across heart, intensive, invasive cancer, and so on and so forth, you can see we pretty much mirror the United States. The underlying causes, again, tobacco, diet, physical activity, alcohol consumption are also the same. And the actual causes of death, what we decided to do is to say, if we're going to be true to this, having published this paper and having gone about setting up a dialogue, what do we want to focus in on? And we decided that in our second year in 2007, we would focus on tobacco, alcohol, and healthy eating and active living. The numbers are the types of things that we've tried within the message, so that if you're out talking to a Rotary Club or a public health association, you can talk about the New Hampshire numbers in terms of the number of adults reported as current smokers and the kids from the BURF study and the moms who are smoking when they're pregnant, and then trying to extrapolate from that at $608 million in healthcare costs and $405 million in lost worker productivity. If you're going to get people's attention, it seems to me, you've got to say something to them that all of a sudden causes them to go, aha, you know, $115 million in New Hampshire healthcare costs associated with smoking are shouldered by the Medicaid program. That gets beyond just who's the smoker and how we're supporting it. Nutrition, 60% of New Hampshire residents are overweight or obese, 11.4% of the children. The costs over there, 1998 to 2000, direct medical costs related to obesity were approximately $302 million. And what we've tried to do in the messaging of this is in each of the areas, again, physical activity, and I won't read them through, but you see what we're trying to do is to look at the numbers but also understand the cost. There is an implication to what we're doing. Alcohol, the same in terms of what its impact has been. So what do we learn from studying the causes of disease? Obviously, we need to encourage healthy behaviors. In New Hampshire and nationwide, we have a case of misaligned resources. For example, New Hampshire has not allocated, most states have not allocated any of the funds received from tobacco tax revenues or tobacco settlement to prevention programs. And if we're going to get people to do it, we've got to lay down a base of conversation with them in which they understand what the implications of their actions are. This chart to me, along with the first three or four slides, I don't give a slide presentation without this that was produced with Robert Wood Johnson a few years ago. If you look at the factors that influence our health, 50% is behavior, 20% is genetics, 20% is environment, and 10% is access to care. If you look at where we spend our money, of the $1.9 trillion, 88% is on medical care, 8% on other, 4% on behaviors. As long as we keep this paradigm in place, we're gonna. That's why the IOM has said, unless we solve this together, we're nowhere. Because this side, medical care, will chew up and eat every dollar we have. The innovation in the country is extraordinary. We've got a new BizBaz machine coming out every day that will do something miraculous that USA Today will talk about. Meantime, will they talk about those underlying killers? And when we have these misaligned priorities, we've got to be as dramatic about what we're intending to do as the facts are dramatic. Our call to action is to pay attention to the data. The little elevator speech that we give is, information is to healthcare what raw materials are to manufacturing. Unless you have the right stuff at the right place at the right time in the right format, the end product will be flawed. You can't just expect it to happen, nor can we expect to express ourselves in the way we normally express ourselves about the data and expect everybody to go, aha, of course we've built this industry that consumes 16% of our gross domestic product and we're going to change it tomorrow. That won't happen. That won't happen. We spend twice as much as the median of every other industrialized nation. We leave 20% of our people uncovered. We spend 88% of our money on the curative side of things. We've got to focus on what is really the most important issue. We have to understand that prevention is everyone's responsibility. This is not a case of me walking up to the smoker and shaking my finger in their face. It's not a case of me talking about obesity in the abstract. My guess is that the advertising money for the broccoli lobby is not quite as much as Pizza Hut and McDonald's and all of those put together. We've got to change the environment, and we've got to take action now. We've simplified the message. We've tried to point to sub-state variation. We've tried to align the state in moving forward on the leading causes of mortality and morbidity. and we have focused in on these drivers of tobacco, alcohol, and physical activity and nutrition. Before I get to the numbers, let me just say what we've done in each of those areas is we have partnered with a champion. With tobacco, we have partnered with Breathe New Hampshire, which is the successor to the Lung Association. We have partnered with a group called New Futures on alcohol. And we are partnering with an HNH Foundation, which is another conversion foundation in the state. And we're trying to move forward and brand a notion called HEAL, H-E-A-L, Healthy Eating and Active Living. And we have a conference that we just held in October to essentially say, we know what you can do if you want to move towards healthy eating and active living, but if you want to be a HEAL school, here's what you should do. If you want to be a HEAL community, here's what you could do. If you want to be a HEAL employer, here's what you can do. If you want to be a HEAL family, here's what you can do. And over the course of the next 2 years, we're going to try and reinforce that. What we've done by taking this approach is over the first 2 years, the endowment, the conversion endowment that I mentioned, put in $75,000 each year, so it's $150,000. But we've managed to leverage that with other New Hampshire foundations, with money from the state, money from the National Governors Association, a CDC grant that we just received to provide more information to folks, and a CORE grant that we get from the state. So what we're trying to say is that you can start and take an idea, but leverage that idea as long as you have a common driving principle. We've developed presentations for the general and professional audiences. We're collaborating with the Public Health Improvement Action Plan, with the Public Health Association. We're taking action steps for the finance policy team, the group that we're working on, so that they will push hard to make sure that body mass index and other things are included in reimbursement incentives. And we're trying to integrate with our CDC assessment initiative grant. I don't have copies of this presentation, and there's a couple copies of Pound of Prevention. But at that website, we have information that allows folks in businesses to go and just click on three icons: cost, quality, and health promotion and disease prevention. And that brings them immediately, it's kind of an electronic table of contents, if you will, brings them to the best information so that they can feel that the only time businesses... There's the front page. The businesses tend to think about healthcare once a year when their insurance premiums come in up 15%, and we're trying to get them engaged throughout the year. So that's it. I wanted to bring it in about 15 minutes. I think I've done that. There's our initiative website, and I'd be delighted to answer questions as we continue.
They are.
Okay. And there's the references for those of you that are particularly fond of